The Planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
I am present and accounted for.
Awesome. Awesome.
Not quite. I was preparing for today's talk, which is about fibromyalgia, and I was reliving my memories of, you know, having had that. Because I was one of the people who did get slain by heavy metal poisoning. So whenever somebody talks to me about fibromyalgia, I can say, well, I know about your pain.
You've experienced it.
Oh, yeah, firsthand. In spades. Have the T-shirt.
And let me guess, it's not something you recommend.
Well, you know, the biggest issue with fibromyalgia is that people don't believe that you have it. They don't believe that it's possible. You know, fibromyalgia is about 3 times more common in women than it is in men. And essentially people suffer from musculoskeletal pain and aching, meaning you're always sore and you want to stay in bed and you want to not get out. You know, you oftentimes will have disturbed sleep patterns, so that means you will be staying awake at night and needing to sleep during the day. You know, fatigue, chronic fatigue. People are, you know, like...
Well, if you're not getting a good night's sleep, then you're going to always be tired, right?
But even more so, you know. And headaches, and another popular one that's associated with it is called dysmenorrhea, which is a painful period, you know, cramping and all of that associated stuff that goes with it. And so anyway, the point is that women are told, well, it's all in your head, you know, or they're prescribed antidepressants or painkillers and antidepressants or just... out and out Valium, you know, just to numb them out, to just not feel anything.
Right.
But it's real. You know, this comes with back pain, with chest pains, with sciatica, which sciatica is this shooting pain that sort of goes down the leg. Bursitis, you know, that's the bursitis, the outer wrapping of the... of the muscles, that could hurt terribly. TMJ is another popular version of it, where you have the temporal mandibular joint problem. I mean, dentists have made a lot of money selling people mouth guards and something to deal with. You're grinding your teeth, you know.
They certainly made a lot of money off of me when I was working in the grocery business.
Oh, how's that?
Because I was grinding my teeth and I had pain in my jaw, everything else, and so they gave me this piece of plastic to sleep with, which was not a lot of fun.
Yes.
And I'd wear it out, and then I'd have to get another one, and nobody ever said, "Well, if you just relaxed."
Except you were managing a store, you had all the headaches of the manager, right?
That's right. But I never spent any time relaxing. I'm sure if I'd have done a little bit of meditating or something in those days, I would have, or figured out a way to relieve the stress, because as soon as I left the job, within about 4 months, I didn't have the problem with my... In fact, that's one of the ways that I now can tell how stressed out I am. If I'm waking up in the morning and I have been clenching all night and my jaw is sore and I've got that pain again, mm-hmm. It's starting to come back, then I know I'm on the wrong road, and I start making sure I meditate and relax and get rid of whatever is causing that stress.
Right.
Or resolve whatever is causing that stress, maybe be a better way of putting it.
Okay. So I would like to sort of wrap the whole fibromyalgia talk into the broader scope of what it is. Now, fibromyalgia is one of the expressions of an inflammatory condition in the body. These days they call it the fibro-5, chronic fatigue, depression, irritable bowel, interstitial cystitis and migraine headaches. Those are essentially associated. If somebody has one, they usually have at least one more, if not all of them, at the same time.
So are the symptoms of fibromyalgia. Right.
Now, the mainstream medical, the allopathic medicine, calls it now fibromyalgia syndrome, and we now have an official drug. We have talked about that in our earlier podcast when we were making fun of Lyrica.
Yeah.
They have repurposed Lyrica. Normally, this drug is used for reducing seizures in the brain for people with seizure problems. So this drug essentially tries to disrupt the nerve signals enough so you don't feel this pain. They don't try to deal with the cause. In fact, they don't even understand that this could be possible. But here is what happens. Dr. Vickery, the fellow that we cooperate with a lot, spent 40 years in research of this and developed a product or a system, I would say, that deals with this successfully. And he came up with the five demons, he calls it, that gets together to form fibromyalgia. Now, I'm thinking of it as sort of a perfect storm, the situation in which several things come together at the same time, and you have now the problem. So I would like to go over the list of these.
Good. Yeah, let's get a discussion of these going on. I think that's really important.
Right. So the first demon is your enzyme deficiency. It's actually proteins and enzymes. If your digestive system is debilitated, then it will not disassemble proteins correctly. This typically is caused by what's known as the leaky gut, or sterile gut, or what else do we call it? I don't know, the words are not coming to me.
But basically what you're saying is that we don't have the proper enzymes, and we've talked about this many times in the past, to do every job that every cell in our body needs to do. It requires certain enzymes, and if you don't have those enzymes, not able to do it. So we take in protein, maybe it's cooked meat or that sort
right.
of thing, and we don't have the enzymes to break it down, and then it gets into our body almost like a poison, and we have that inflammation going on.
That is correct. Yes, you're describing it right. And the main issue is that the culture, the terrain in the gut has been destroyed. It could be destroyed by drinking chlorinated water, or by taking antibiotics.
Yeah.
Or some other means by which we simply end up with an insufficient terrain in the digestive system. So even if you had the proteins arriving, you are not able to take them apart correctly, as you just mentioned. So instead of the let me say it in more detail. What has to happen is this. When a protein arrives in your body, it could be a piece of chicken. Well, your human body cannot utilize the chicken. It needs to take it apart into the constituent parts, which are amino acids. So we now need the amino acids individually taken apart, passing through the villi of the small intestine into the bloodstream. So if you have insufficient, now they call it the brush border barrier, essentially the gatekeepers, if they're not good, they will let things through that are not free-form aminos, they will be protein-like or whole protein pieces. So all of a sudden you have a piece of chicken in your blood. Bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Your immune system has to see that as enemy and attack it. And that is part of the inflammatory response. So here goes the second demon. Second demon is sulfur deficiency.
Well, that fits, because when we think of Lucifer, we think of him living in a place with brimstone and sulfur, right?
Oh, you're so sweet with your associations.
But I suspect you're telling me we don't have enough sulfur in our
system. That's right, not enough brimstone. Not enough brimstone in your gut, my friend.
It always amazes me when you talk about sulfur, right? Because not far from where I live, on the water is a, because I'm on a port city, there's a big pile of yellow stuff, which, of course, is sulfur. And it just sort of sits there, and every once in a while gets shipped away. And when I look at that, and then I hear you talk about sulfur, I'm going, I don't, that stuff doesn't look good, it doesn't smell good, it doesn't, I'm sure, taste good. I need more of that in my body.
No, of course not. Just like with everything else, it needs to be biologically bound, right? It needs to be bound in something living.
Right, right.
You know, foods that contain a lot of sulfur are garlic, onions, cabbage, peppers. So, you know, all the stuff that gives you gas.
Okay, so say that again. Onions, garlic.
Cabbage.
Cabbage, peppers, Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
Cauliflower?
Probably, yes. All of the cruciferous.
So. Okay, so broccoli, cauliflower, those sort of things.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, good.
The more common form, of course, is the generally available either SM or DMSO. You know, the MSM, methyl sulfonyl methane.
Right.
Good stuff. You know, like you can buy MSM these days in a health food store, and its primary application is for joint pain. But the joint pain really is an inflammatory condition. Pain equals inflammation, right? And anyway, so that's the second demon, sulfur deficiency. The third demon is degeneration of the discs. You know, the discs that...
In our back.
Right, yeah. These are the cushions. These are the shock absorbers of your spine. Between each pair of vertebrae that's in your spine, there's this... Well, it's a disc, and it's like a little pillow. It looks a lot like an inner tube. And
okay.
It's supposed to be filled with the right kind of fluid, and it's supposed to have the right kind of quality of the outer wrapping. And what happens is when you have this sort of deficiency, the outer shell of the discs becomes weakened. And you have heard of herniated disc, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the extreme situation. Herniated discs, that's when you're in real trouble. First you can have bulging disc, and then you can get herniated disc, and then you can have... Well, then you, if you go to the surgeons, they will try and fix it. You know, they will either try and digest it off enzymatically, or they will operate on you, and they will excise the disc, or they will even fuse your vertebrae together. So instead of being flexible between those two, you will have a stiff joints.
Wow.
So that's something that's completely associated with fibromyalgia. It's not a cause, it's just an affiliate of it. You know, bad discs, that just simply goes with it, because when your body is deficient in free-form amino acids, meaning, you know, we started from the gut problem causes the lack of free-form amino acid in your body. It's not able to restore itself, especially the discs, and that wear and tear is showing up. And it will show up in your back pain, neck pain, but it will also show up later in your joint pain, because it's the same mechanism that causes you to develop joint pain later. Mm. Lovely, huh?
Yeah.
Well, so here comes the fourth demon. That's we're building perfect storm here, and that's heavy metals. I think it's, you know, that the biggest culprit here is mercury, lead, cadmium, but it could be nickel, it could be tin, could be arsenic. Well, what's really interesting is also what could be involved here is all the other toxin. You know, I could even say the total toxic load. Say it well. When you're born to a mother who has been exposed to a lot of toxins in her life, it's going to be in you to begin with. And then as a baby, you'll be taken to a doctor who will administer a vaccination that has been treated with formaldehyde and possibly with mercury. And then when you're older, you will get a filling that's made of mercury, and you will be exposed to herbicides and pesticides, and you'll be breathing the exhaust fumes and other gas-off materials from your carpets and your paints and your vinyl dash in your mommy's new car, all of that stuff. That is the total toxic load that will contribute. Am I painting it dark enough?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on to the fifth demon, and that is viral infection. So when these things end up together, that's when the inflammatory condition will finally blossom into an explosion where you will cave. Anyway, the virus, typically it could be chronic fatigue from Epstein-Barr, but it could be Coxsackie, or it could be varicella, you know, any one of the viral infections. It just doesn't really matter so much which one it is. You get one, two, or three of them, and they will take over. They will do the neurological damage, such as you would know from a herpes virus, that will just challenge your immune system to the point where it will be able to break. That's what I call the last straw that breaks the camel's back.
Right. Like, your body might be able to deal with all of these things if it was just having to deal with one of them, but by putting them all together, it's just basically overloaded the whole thing, and that's it.
Right. Yeah, this is the perfect storm scenario, right? If the wind blows from here, if the temperature is from there, if the low was over there, all of a sudden we have the mother storm that will take down every ship that comes its way.
Right.
Yeah, this is exactly the situation where, in fact, there's a really interesting study done. It showed that if you administer the dosage of mercury that kills 1 in 100 and combine it with the dosage of lead that kills 1 in 100, it will kill 100.
Wow.
So it's the exponential increase is almost to infinity.
So what you're saying really is we've done a test of this material, and we think it's safe because only 1 in 100 people will have a reaction to it. And
yes.
Then you do that for 100 different materials, and now you've got us all being a little bit of exposure to a lot of toxic materials, and it's breaking down our immune system.
Exactly. It's the overwhelm.
It's the overwhelm.
And it's getting worse and worse from one generation to next. You know, like I was born in the 50s and grew up in the 50s in a society that wasn't terribly rich in plastics and had metals. But my kids played with plastic toys.
Yep.
And I tell you, my kids have started off with all of my toxins that I've picked up, like the mercury, for instance. So they are much less resilient than I was. And I'm concerned that when they become mothers, their offspring is going to come with even a greater load, so they will be even less resilient. And I think that's probably the reason why we see such increase in the autism and ADD and ADHD and all these other conditions that are directly related to this syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we listed all of these things that are part of the syndrome, right?
Yep, that's right.
Well, ADD is one of them on the list. So what can you do then?
Well, I was just going to say, is that the last demon, the viruses?
Yes, yeah. So let's name it again. Virus, toxicity, like heavy metal or other toxins.
Spinal disc degeneration.
Right.
Sulfur deficiency.
And
enzyme deficiency.
Yes. Now, those three actually are caused by the leaky gut syndrome. So we could reduce it into three, which is bad digestion caused by the terrain in your body that's just not good enough. Number two, toxicity that has arrived somehow. And number three, the viral infection. Well, what can you do, right? Well, we've talked about it. We've talked about the need for detox. You need to get rid of the heavy metals somehow. We've identified zeolite as one of the best ways to do it. Dr. Vickery has identified essential amino acids as a means of bypassing the deficiency that's created in the small intestine. So if you're not disassembling the proteins correctly, you can give yourself a crutch and start supplementing with amino acids that have been correctly disassembled.
Right.
They're called free-form amino acids. You know, people supplement with amino acids all the time. You go into a health food store and they say, oh yeah, we got an amino acid supplement.
Yeah, that's right.
And every bodybuilder talks about aminos all the time, right?
Yeah.
However, the issue, what ratios and are they actually free form? And then finally, are they accompanied by sulfur? You must have that on board or else you will not assemble protein correctly. And there's one other cofactor, and that's molybdenum. Molybdenum is a trace mineral, or metal really, that's required to be present as a catalyst in the body, or else the assembly of proteins doesn't proceed correctly. So that's what's found in the amino acid formula that Dr. Vickery put together. He calls it the Platinum Plus. And essential fatty acids and vitamins, and especially vitamin C.
Vitamin C? Well, that's interesting.
Yes. Yes, vitamin C is essentially a universal antioxidant, you know, because of all the toxic damage you have in the body, you're suffering from oxidative stress, and you need to deal with it somehow. You could start taking glutathione, because that's your universal recycler of all antioxidants, or you could start taking, megahydrates, you know, the Dr. Flanagan invention, which is the universal electron donor. Or you can be taking vitamin C, which is, again, a universal antioxidant.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. Mm. And you need to take it in sufficient dosage. Imagine this, the recommended daily dose, you know, the RDA, for vitamin C is 60 milligrams. Now, that's enough to prevent scurvy. That's not enough to keep you healthy. What we have found is you need to take about 4,000 milligrams a day in order to stay out of the inflammatory terrain or territory induced by fibromyalgia or something like that.
Well, and let me ask you this, Martin. That 4 grams of vitamin C, if I went to my local grocery store and got their no-name brand vitamin C, I'm pretty sure that probably wouldn't be the vitamin C that you'd be recommending.
Well, actually, you know, surprisingly, I would be.
Oh, okay. So there's...
You know, like vitamin C really is a fairly generic thing. One should eat the vitamin C in the whole food, you know, as in the whole apple or the whole green pepper or this or that, but once you go into this deficiency, what you need is a large load of ascorbic acid. That's what vitamin C is. So you can either take ascorbic acid or typically sodium ascorbate, which is, you know, ascorbic acid reacted with salt, with sodium.
Okay.
So, you know, the vitamin C that we sell it in an 8-ounce 8-ounce jar, half a pound, and I think ours is about $22 at this point. But
half a pound?
Yes. Yes, we're not fiddling here, Scott.
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of, like, you know, a little tablet, right? And then I went from a little, that was in my mind as you're talking, right? Okay, a little tablet. And then it's like, I read this half a pound tablet in my hand going, oh my goodness.
Okay, no, not like that. What you need is you need to take about 4 teaspoons of it a day, right?
I'm assuming it tastes not too bad.
Well, it's very sour.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
But anyway, so that's definitely part of it.
So what you want to do is make sure you've got enough vitamin C for the antioxidant work that it does and all the other good things that it does.
Yes, and once you get into this heavy inflammation territory, you need to have something that's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting for your oxidative stress.
And we can assume that somebody who has like a lupus or a fibromyalgia condition, they're in the kind of emergency state.
Oh, absolutely.
We can't fiddle around with just a little tablet of vitamin C. We gotta be taking a good dose.
Yeah, 4,000 mg a day at least. In fact, you could go all the way to bowel tolerance, which for some people it's 25,000, for some people it's 80,000. It varies.
So bowel tolerance means what?
You take so much of it until you get diarrhea.
Okay.
And once you know you have the diarrhea, you back off from there. And you're now below bowel tolerance.
So sometimes people say things like, if I take too much of something, it'll make me sicker, or it'll can be toxic and kill me. And is there any toxicity levels for vitamin C?
Oh, not in the terms of thinking of cyanide or digitalis or, you know, drugs that you typically have to get a prescription for.
So when we're at 4 grams, 5 grams, which is like 400 milligrams or 4,000 milligrams, that's not at a level that you have to be concerned about for toxicity or anything?
Not at all, no.
Okay.
No, I mean, the tolerance might be 50,000, right? So,
yeah. So you got a long ways to go.
Yes. And when you reach the tolerance, that's your body telling you, okay, enough now.
Which is what you want. You want to be full. I mean, in some ways, what you're talking about reminds me of a car, right? I mean, if you run your gas tank down to, like, almost out, and, you know, and that's what's, you know, you're not going to be running very well or very much longer. And that's kind of like when your gas tank of vitamin C is pretty well empty, that's when you've got all this toxicity going on and you got all this pain and everything else. You got to fill the gas tank up, which means you got to take in a lot more of it than what you have been taking in.
Right. Well, actually, I would like to use a similar but slightly different metaphor, and it's this. If you want to go from sick to healthy, and you want to get there the fastest in a car, you would try to take the corners at as high a speed as you can possibly manage, right?
Yeah.
So that's how you're going to make up for the time. So you need to drive it as hard as possible, but without skidding out.
Yeah.
So the bowel tolerance is skidding out. That's, you know, four wheels drift, right?
Oh, yeah.
So right. we want to stay on this side of that. So it's 75 miles an hour. That corner is just a little too much. Okay, let's back it to 60.
Right. So go a little bit over, don't worry about it, and then back off, as opposed to never knowing if you've given it enough.
Yes, that's it. That's the best. Now, you can create this or limit this oxidative stress in many ways. I mentioned glutathione. That's the universal recycling tool that your body has for renewing antioxidants. So, supplementing with that is a great idea. Supplementing with microhydrin or microhydrates, that again is a universal universal electron donor. Excellent idea. That will again help lower the oxidative stress in your body, which is induced by the electropositive things found in your body, which these will be the herbicides, pesticides, viruses, and heavy metals.
Right.
Yay. So that was the vitamin C. We can go with that, or it's the least expensive of the lot. That's why it comes up. What else would we say about this? Call us, because this is not an easy terrain to cross. You know, fibromyalgia is tragically misunderstood in the mainstream medical system, because they don't consider the cellular terrain. You know, they consider symptoms. So when you present yourself with a headache, which is one of the symptoms of fibromyalgia, they give you something for, you know, a headache. Well, what if your ileocecal valve is malfunctioning? What do they give you for that? They don't really have anything to give you for that. They could operate on it for you. Or, you know, if you're feeling depressed, what do they try and do for you? Well, they try to give you antidepressants. Well, that doesn't deal with the cause of your depression.
Right.
So because it's such a complex situation, and it's known, the syndrome, and syndrome in medical speak means we really have no idea what to do here.
Right.
AIDS, you know, acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. I mean, they just throw these things at you hoping that some of it will take, but they don't really have a clue about the cause or a reverse of that. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. The point is information at www.life-enthusiast.com under health conditions or health concerns. Look up fibromyalgia. Read the articles. Read the frequently asked questions and give us a call at 1-866-543-3388. We can help you. This is Martin, and for Scott, we are restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye, everybody.